PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading.
Wow! Hi! Not such a good day for a baseball game and picnic. But it is a good day for lots of other things. Listen. I love the sound of rain. It's like tap dancing on my window. You know, I wonder why so many people are so down on rainy days. I love them. I think I'll find out how long the storm is going to last so that I can make some special rainy day plans.
And now, Linda with the weather.
And now for the local weather forecast.
Betcha I can make a 100% accurate prediction. It's raining, right?
It's raining, and the forecast is bad.
Bad? What do you mean bad?
We're in for lots more of this terrible weather.
Terrible? Who says it's terrible? Don't be such a drip.
Now, I know this is unhappy news.
It is? I don't think so.
But we're in for a whole day of this dreary, gray weather, folks. And the entire central part...
I don't have to listen to that. Nobody can convince me that I can't have a fine time on a rainy day. Luckily, we chose tomorrow as an alternate date for our baseball game and picnic. That means I have today to do whatever rainy day things I want. So, I think today, I'll work some jigsaw puzzles and solve my puzzle cube. Maybe I'll make some chocolate chip cookies. And I might even take time out for my favorite rainy day sport, puddle hopping.
Woke up this morning, I could see the wind was blowing and the rain was dropping. No school today, mom's working and my daddy is going shopping. What a day, don't get the blues, put on your coat. Puddle hopping on a day like today. All my friends stay in to play, but I'm not stopping. Looking on the ground all around till I found me a puddle I can plop in. What a way to chase the blues when there's nothing to do. You got nothing to lose. Go puddle hopping. It's raining, don't stay inside. Get on your feet or get your bike and ride. You ain't live till you try. Puddle hopping, puddle hopping, puddle hopping.
It's great to go puddle hopping and running in between the raindrops, but it's also good to know when to come in out of the rain to a place that's dry and cozy. Mmm, a nice cool glass of apple juice, just perfect for my favorite rainy day pastime, curling up with a good book. Or two. Or 10. It's a shame I can't read them all today. This is one of my favorite stories. It's called Bringing the Rain to Kapiti Plain. It's based on an old African legend told by the Nandi people who live in Kenya. It's a perfect rainy day story because, well, it tells us just how important rain is to all living things, and how a rainy day can sometimes be the best day of all. What if you lived in a land that was dry and thirsty, and you waited and waited for the rain to come? What if your mouth was dry and your stomach empty because there was no rain? For weeks and weeks, no clouds, no rain, no water. And you waited and waited.
A Nandi Tale. Bringing the rain to Kapiti Plain. Retold by Verna Adama. Pictures by Beatrice Vidal. This is the great Kapiti Plain, all fresh and green from the African rains, a sea of grass for the ground birds to nest in, and patches of shade for wild creatures to rest in, with acacia trees for giraffes to browse on, and grass for the herdsmen to pasture their cows on. But one year the rains were so very belated that all the big wild creatures migrated. Then Kipat helped to end that terrible drought, and this story tells how it all came about. This is the cloud, all heavy with rain, that shadowed the ground on Kapiti Plain. This is the grass, all brown and dead, that needed the rain from the cloud overhead. The big black cloud, all heavy with rain, that shadowed the ground on Kapiti Plain. These are the cows, all hungry and dry, who mooed for the rain to fall from the sky, to green up the grass all brown and dead that needed the rain from the cloud overhead. The big black cloud, all heavy with rain, that shadowed the ground on Kapiti Plain. This is Kipat, who watched his herd as he stood on one leg like the big stork bird. Kipat, whose cows were so hungry and dry, they mooed for the rain to fall from the sky, to green up the grass all brown and dead that needed the rain from the cloud overhead. The big black cloud, all heavy with rain, that shadowed the ground on Kapiti Plain. This is the eagle who dropped a feather that helped to change the weather. It fell near Kipat, who watched his herd as he stood on one leg like the big stork bird. Kipat, whose cows were so hungry and dry, they mooed for the rain to fall from the sky, to green up the grass, all brown and dead, that needed the rain from the cloud overhead. The big black cloud, all heavy with rain, that shadowed the ground on Kapiti Plain. This is the arrow Kipat put together, with a slender stick and an eagle feather, from the eagle who happened to drop a feather that helped to change the weather. It fell near Kipat, who watched his herd as he stood on one leg like the big stork bird. Kipat, whose cows were so hungry and dry, they mooed for the rain to fall from the sky, to green up the grass all brown and dead, that needed the rain from the cloud overhead. The big black cloud, all heavy with rain, that shadowed the ground on Kapiti Plain. This is the bow, so long and strong and strung with a string, a leather thong. A bow for the arrow Kipat put together with a slender stick and an eagle feather from the eagle who happened to drop a feather that helped to change the weather. It fell near Kipat, who watched his herd as he stood on one leg like the big stork bird. Kipat, whose cows were so hungry and dry, they mooed for the rain to fall from the sky, to green up the grass all brown and dead, that needed the rain from the cloud overhead. The big black cloud, all heavy with rain, that shadowed the ground on Kapiti Plain. This was the shot that pierced the cloud and loosed the rain with thunder loud. A shot from the bow, so long and strong and strung with a string, a leather thong, a bow for the arrow, Kipat put together with a slender stick and an eagle feather from the eagle who happened to drop a feather that helped to change the weather. The cows now and shoots down the rain when black clouds shadow Kapiti Plain.
This is the cloud all heavy with rain that shadowed the ground on Kapiti Plain.
Whoa. You know, when I was a little kid, I used to be afraid of thunder. I always used to wonder, what makes the thunder? Then I made up a little story so I wouldn't be scared. I used to imagine that there were these angels that lived in the clouds, and on rainy days, the angels would go bowling. Now, if you've ever been bowling yourself, you know that it can be a pretty noisy sport, what with balls rumbling down the lanes and crashing into pins and all. And you know what? It sounds a lot like thunder. So, on rainy days when I'd get scared by the thunderstorms, I'd just say to myself, it's only the angels up there, bowling. And I wouldn't be so frightened anymore. Say, do you ever wonder what makes thunder?
Well, I don't know, but I think like it comes from light.
I think it comes from a huge volcano up in the sky that erupts every time it's angry.
Whenever it rains, God moves his furniture, and whenever he puts the piano down, it goes down with a big bang.
When God shoots a basket and the ball goes down, thunder comes.
I think thunder happens when there's a traffic jam in heaven.
The clouds bump or the clouds are angry.
Clouds filling up with rain and then bursting.
When the angels go bowling, they throw the bowling ball and it hits the pins. So when the pins fall down, it makes such a noise that that's where thunder comes from.
I guess everyone has their own special thunder story. But you know, scientists say that thunder always happens after lightning. You see, lightning makes the air very, very hot. And it sort of expands, blows up. And that's what you hear when it thunders. Thunder isn't dangerous, it's just very loud. But nobody's absolutely sure what causes thunderstorms. At the National Center for Atmospheric Research, scientists believe that a day without a thunderstorm is like a joke without a punchline. They even built their laboratory high in the Colorado Mountains where there are more thunderstorms a year than anywhere else in the United States.
It looks like we have a couple of good thunderstorms out here. We'd better get an airplane up on them.
Thank you. Cindy, we're airborne now. And can you tell us where to go?
Hi, Jaws 30. This is Landshark. There's a cell out at 120 degrees at 50 nautical miles that we'd like you to go look at. Hi, I'm Cindy Mueller, and I'm a meteorologist. A meteorologist is someone who studies the weather. Today, we're in the middle of an operation. We're studying thunderstorms. We're trying to learn something about them and be able to predict them. If you take a look at the radar screen, you can see that we have two thunderstorms, one here and one here. You can tell that they're the most severe areas of the thunderstorms because they have red and gray areas. There's probably hail in these locations. What we're going to have the airplane do is fly around the thunderstorm so that we can get an idea of what the airflow is like around the thunderstorm. And we don't want them to go into the center because they might encounter hail and severe turbulence, which might hurt them. Jaws 30, this is Cindy. Hi, Ed, I'd like you to get on a heading of about 120 degrees and proceed about 10 nautical miles and then make a 180 degree turn.
Okay, well, I hope you're going to give us an exciting ride today. Hello there, my name's Ed, and we've just taken off to go and find some thunderstorms. Cindy's going to tell us where to find them, and I hope it's going to be an exciting day. We can never tell when we get airborne whether we're going to get the sort of storms that we want. We have a Hawker Siddeley jet here, and we've got lots of clever instruments in it that help us to measure the weather. Cindy looks at all the storms that we're flying close to, and she tells us how dangerous they are. And if there's any hail in those storms, then that can really damage the airplane. So we keep out of those and just fly around the outside. Most of the time when we're going to fly against the thunderstorms, we fly just underneath the base of the cloud. And you can see out there there's a great big solid base on that cloud. And then in the middle, you can see the rain coming down from it. Some days when the air isn't too bad inside those thunderstorms, then we fly through the middle of them. It can get very exciting and very turbulent, and the airplane gets thrown around, and we get held in here in our straps, and we have a really good ride, and we really enjoy it.
Not only do we study weather using airplanes, but we also study it using radars. Kathy Kessinger is in charge of the radars. Kathy, how did the radars look today?
They look good, Cindy. We'll have to do a manual check, though, before we begin scanning. Hi. My name is Kathy Kessinger. I'm also a meteorologist. I'm in charge of setting up the radars so that they scan the thunderstorms that we want them to. And we do have three Doppler radars in our program. Just 1 minute, I need to check to make sure that our antenna is working properly. Kathy, could you tell me if the antenna is moving properly? And could you scan it in the southeast sector, please?
Roger, Cindy, that's azimuth left 296, azimuth right 360, elevation 0 to 10 degrees. The job I have here is a very important one. I run the radar, which is one of the scientific instruments we use in studying severe weather, just like the storm we're studying now. My name is Kathy Jarek, and I'm an electronics technician here at NCAR. Right now, we're standing inside the radome, which is a big white balloon that we put over the antenna to protect it from severe weather. The radar is an electronic beam which is sent out from our antenna, and it goes out, hits a cloud, and it comes back, which enables us to measure how big it is and how fast it's moving. That should be a pretty good scan. How does it look to you, Cindy?
Looks like a pretty good scan in all sectors.
We also use a lot of different kinds of equipment in our program here. We use the weather balloons to tell us what's going on in the upper atmosphere. The balloons have an instrument package attached that measures the wind speed and wind direction, temperature, humidity, and pressure. And we have 27 ground stations that we use to measure wind speed and direction, pressure, humidity, and temperature. They're very important, and they let us know what kind of features the thunderstorms have in the low levels. We use all of this data, we take it and we put it all into the computer. Once the computer gets all this data, we can do three-dimensional models of the thunderstorms, and we use that to tell us more about the structure of the thunderstorms and how it's changing with time. But you know, even with all this information that we have available to us, we still don't completely understand the thunderstorm, and we still need to continue studying them. We hope that in the future we'll be better able to predict where thunderstorms move and how they're going to behave.
out of here. Shoo, fly. Predicting the weather is easy, but making a prediction that's right, well, that's another story. People use both science and folklore to try to tell whether it will snow, sleet, shine, or rain cats and dogs. Listen to some of these stories. It's harder to untie rope before wet weather. Well, that certainly seems true. Here's one. Bears and raccoons are always restless before a storm. Well, remember that the next time you run into a bear or a raccoon. Ah, here's a good one for city dwellers. When cockroaches fly and pigeon wings droop, expect rain. Right. Ah, here's a great one. Fly in your nose, a scratch and it goes. If it comes back again, it'll bring a wet rain. Well, according to this, that fly should be landing right here any second. Well, I hope that fly wasn't planning a career as a weather forecaster. You can use these old sayings to try and predict the weather and see for yourself if they really work. Meanwhile, here are some people who do a lot better job of predicting the weather than I do. Or that fly, wherever he is.
Come on, folks, you better get your umbrellas now. I got collapsibles for $3.50 and portables for $5. Come on and get your umbrellas now. Hey, I got a nice Chinese umbrella for you, lady. Nice, hey, take it home, $4. $4 for you. Come on, folks, you better get your umbrellas. It's gonna rain in about 2 hours from now.
It's gonna rain in 2 hours. It's beautiful out now.
Don't let the sunshine fool you. It is gonna rain in 2 hours, I'm sure of it.
It's gonna rain? How do you know it's gonna rain?
Man, how do I know it's gonna rain? I can feel rain. I can smell it in those gray clouds forming way off in the distance. And my grandmother's bunions was acting up real bad this morning. She said it's gonna rain for 2 days straight. Besides, I'm half Indian. I can feel it in my bones. Come on,
folks. Look, hey, lady, here's the price for this umbrella. We'll take this umbrella, okay?
There, you got a deal.
Great.
Hey, lady, this is a nice umbrella. Your husband can take it when he plays golf or something.
Howdy. Sure is a beautiful day, isn't it? But I don't need those fancy folks on the radio or TV to tell me that. No, sir. I just use Mother Nature. Whether I'm inside or out. When I go in the house, I watch my cat. The way she washes tells me a lot about the weather. When I see her take that paw and lick it, and go up around that ear and start to wash, I know it's gonna rain. And the harder she licks and the more she washes, the more I know it's gonna rain. So Mother Nature helps me inside. Go outside, too, for that matter. Look at the birds, look at the cattle, look at almost anything in nature and learn something. Why, look right here. Here's a little old caterpillar, woolly caterpillar. Good morning. Now, he tells me a lot of information. First of all, I can tell he's darn happy, so I know he's going to give me the right information. See the black at the end? Well, we know that clouds are dark. So that means we're going to have rain in July and in August. Now, you see this side here? There's more black, so that tells me we're going to have more rain in August. It'll be a dry spell. But all this information is important to me for planting my crops and harvest them. So I don't need those fancy folks on TV with the degrees and all. I just rely on Mother Nature. Thank you, Mr. Caterpillar.
Now, speaking of predictions, here are some other books I know you'll enjoy, rain or shine. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, my name is Eric, and I'm here to tell you about this great book I just read. It's called The Cloud Book by Tommy DiPaola. Two clouds I especially liked were the cumulonimbus clouds, which create heavy thunderstorms, and the cirrostratus clouds, which just about blanket the earth. Now, I used to look up at clouds and think, now, what kind of a cloud is that? But I read this book, and I finally found out. I think you'll find out a lot of facts about clouds, too.
Hello, all you boys and girls out there. My name is Africa Whitaker, and I would like to tell you about a book called A Story, A Story. It's about a man called Anansi the Spider-Man. He wanted to get the story so all the kids over the world could hear stories and won't be so bored all the time. I think you would like this book because it's a wonderful book, has wonderful, colorful pages, and you would find your favorite part in there.
Hi, my name's Mary. I'm here to tell you about this book called Rain. It's about these two children who are playing outside in the rain. This book tells a lot with just pictures and no words. If you like stories about nature, you'll like this book because it's got pictures of trees, flowers, and birds. After I read this book, I took a shower to get the real feeling of rain. After you read it, I hope you take a shower too.
Scientists and storytellers often have different explanations for the same things. A scientist would say that it rains when the air gets so heavy that it can't hold any more water. But that's not what Kipat would say. Hey, look! The storm's over and the sun's trying to come out. You know, if we're lucky, we might even get a rainbow. Now, there's something that people tell different stories about. What makes a rainbow? Well, the Shoshone Indians say that a rainbow is a giant serpent rubbing its back against the sky. In Hawaii, storytellers say that a rainbow is a bridge to heaven. But most rainbows are caused by the sun when it shines through raindrops left in the sky after a storm. Did you know you can make your own rainbow? Sure, it's easy. All you need is a little water and some sunlight. You take the glass and you put it half on, half off the windowsill, like this. And with a little luck, we've got a rainbow on our hands. You know, even when I know how and why something happens, it can still feel like magic. Once you make your own rainbow, you can decide whether you want to look at it as a scientist or a storyteller. It's up to you. Well, see you next time.